Turn there and participate with me tonight, Revelations chapter 3. And also, would you pick up Acts chapter 13? Revelations 3, Acts chapter 13. I realize we have some people traveling out of town, but we never had a service where we say how many's here and how good a service was it based on how many's in church. I'm more interested in having a service with everybody that is here. I know this, Jesus turned the world upside down with 12, amen? Revelations chapter 3 and Acts chapter 13. I'm going to introduce you tonight to something that we've certainly in a number of different ways talked about before at our church, but maybe never quite as point blank as this. And about, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, it was very clear one night with the Holy Spirit that as a pastor, he dealt with me about what we're supposed to do as a church upcoming for this missions conference. Now, may I say, Revelations 3, Acts 13, if we're going to have a missions conference, let's get committed. Let's not just talk about missions like when we're going to have a missions and I want to support a missionary and just a bunch of lip service. Let's show up Sunday morning. Let's show up Sunday night. Let's plan on being here Monday night. Let's cancel the business trip and be here Tuesday night. Let's be here when we're going to have missionaries speaking at 5 to 6:15 on both Monday night and Tuesday night. If you can come out, let's be a part of this thing and let's put our heart into it. This is more important than anything that's going on TV. We did not check TV Guide to see what's going on. I didn't check to see what the sporting events are. I have no idea what's going on. I just know we're supposed to have a missions conference, and that's more important than other things that are going on in our life. Revelations chapter 3, watch carefully in Acts chapter 13. Again, I say to you tonight, more as a pastor, if you would, from the Holy Spirit leading me, what we're supposed to do, and I hope you'll pick up on it. Revelations chapter 3, he talks to the church of Philadelphia, and he says, let's hear what the Spirit has to say to that church in Philadelphia in verse number 7. Look at verse 8. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee, and what? Open door. No man can shut it. And thou hast a little strength, and hath kept my word, as not denying my name. An open door by God allows to enter in, if you would, into an arena, into an area where God's going to empower to get something done. In the Bible, God opens doors. I want you to see that He opens doors for missionaries. Look, if you would, at Acts chapter 13. And what we're going to ask God to do through some prayer and fasting is to ask God to open up some doors for some missionaries, even though we've never been to that field perchance. Maybe you've never even met that person. You don't have to know the person to know if they're being battled or what's going on. You know what would be great? It would be great for a missionary to get a letter that says, I don't know you, you don't know me, but I prayed and fasted for you last week. You don't know what kind of encouragement that would be to somebody. You say, what are you asking? Brother, we've already asked you to put time in the plate, and by that I mean prayer into this thing. We've already asked you, if you would, to put money into missions, and certainly that involves time to make that money. What I'm going to ask you to do tonight is put your food in the plate. Come on, talk to me now. And if you said, I never heard anything like this, that's why we're bringing up. We're not going to let it slip in our generation. We're not going to let it slip in this church. Prayer and fasting is something that I see over and over again that Baptist churches are anemic about doing this, and we're not going to let it slip in our church. Are you listening to me? If you were to look at Acts chapter 13 and watch the door open here, in Acts chapter 13, look at verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, meaning the Jews, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to who? The Gentiles. And what God's going to do is open up a door for Paul and Barnabas to preach the word of God to the Gentiles. Verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, the Bible says this, they did what? They believed. Now watch the open door in Acts chapter 14. I've been on the mission field. I've watched principalities and powers. I've watched doors open. I've watched doors close. And anybody who's ever been out there or ever been in the ministry before knows these things go on. Acts chapter 14. Notice if you would, the Bible says, if you would, in verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel, verse 21 of Acts 14, to that city, and had taught many, they returned into Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And by the way, they were getting battled all the way from Iconium and all the way, if you would, in Lystra, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with what, say it? Fasting, they commend them to the Lord on whom they believe. Brethren, they were training up leaders, they were building churches, they were out there doing the work of God, but notice verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Brethren, God still opens doors. God still opens doors of ministry. God still opens doors to church. God still opens doors to missionaries. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Stay with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's realize when doors are open, there are enemies, if you would. Stay with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Everybody okay so far? 1 Corinthians 16. If you don't trust the Word of God, and you don't believe the Word of God, this won't make any sense, but I believe our church is mature enough to understand this and do something about it, and it's not something we go out and tell everybody about. Maybe we tell the missionaries, but it's not something to go out and broadcast to everybody. We just need to do the work in secret, and God will reward openly. 1 Corinthians 16. Notice, if you would, that open door. Look at verse 8. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? For a great door and effectual is open to me. Where at? Ephesus. A great door was opened in Ephesus, and if you read in the book of Acts, people were being saved in Ephesus. Aquila and Priscilla started a church in Ephesus in their house, and people were getting saved, and there was a great door open. And I love it when people get saved and hear reports about that. But notice what it says, and there are many what? Adversaries. Statement. You have an adversary. He walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What's the adversary's name? Say it. Satan. Now, he also has devils. Would you agree with that? Principalities and powers. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Stay right with me, please. Ephesians 6, and you already know it, but I want you to see one verse. As we lead into this tonight, it's important to see the Word of God. There's an open door. But there's going to be adversaries in that open door. They're just not going to let get souls get saved and God get glorified without a fight. And the fight is on, amen. I know some churches, though, that are just going through the motions, and we will not go through the motions of a missions conference. We're going to get farther into it than that. We're going to put our money in the plate. We're going to put our time in. But we're going to put some of our food in, too. Why? I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to. If you put one meal and pray for a missionary, that's great. Just do that. Hey, if you're a diabetic and you can put 1 hour of prayer and fasting in above and beyond what you would normally do with the eating and everything like that, do that. But some of us can go beyond that. Stay with me now. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we, say it, everybody, wrestle. Wrestle means contact. Wrestle means we come into contact with something, and there's a struggle that ensues. Would you agree with that? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Someone says, you know what? I haven't had any problems really in 2 years. What an indictment. If we're wrestling against principalities and powers, we're going to get beat up once in a while. There's going to be some things happen that are supernatural going on, but we're also going to see some supernatural victories. When you wrestle something, you come in contact, you grab a hold, and there's a struggle. We need to jump in with some of these missionaries that have grabbed a hold out there and not just send a little check out there, although that's important, and not just, hey, I'm glad we're doing the pen pals and sending letters out, but I'm talking about grabbing a hold and saying, hey, we're praying and fasting for you by name. We're committed. We're holding the lifelines back here. We're going to battle with you spiritually about what's going on there. And I'll guarantee you this, there's missionaries out there that don't even know about prayer and fasting yet. You say, well, why am I praying and fasting? Because they need it. Amen. We'll send them this tape. Yeah. And if you get this tape, missionary, and you're not praying and fasting, let's get with it, all right? Look what he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are children of Satan and there are children of God, is that right? And Satan does not want to let those children grow, and we are out there to take captives. We are out there to set the captives free, is that right? We want those that are taken captive by Satan and his will to be free. We want them to go to heaven. We don't want them to go to a devil's hell. That's not God's will. We want them to have a free, open door. I want missionaries to call back and say, I don't know what's happened back there. The doors have been open and people are getting saved. And we're doing the same thing we've always done. And principalities and powers just seem to be laying down and releasing their hold on people and they're getting saved. I believe in that stuff. We believe in that stuff. We practice it at this church. We fasted for our own big days. Now I'm asking you to fast for somebody else's work. Somebody else's field. Some place you've never been. Some person you've never met. I'm asking you to fast that a door opens there and that they have an effectual, and we wrestle with them concerning their adversaries. Look at Mark chapter 3. Stay with me. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Fasting, what does it mean? It means putting aside the food and drinking water. Not coffee. Not juice. Come on. You fast and pray. That doesn't mean you drink coffee for the meal. That's a diet. Amen. Hey, if you take a meal, you take two meals, take a couple meals. Hey, you say, now, you know, can some children get involved with it? You pick the age or whatever that. Don't make it oppressive on them. I mean, don't do what you want, but if they come to the dinner table and you just set out four bottles of water and say, we're fasting tonight. You ought to explain what you're doing beforehand. I'll guarantee you, there will be some lady in here, some wife, that their husband will come to dinner and she'll set out a bottle of water and say, there it is, buddy. We're doing what the preacher said. We got a missionary we're praying for. Now listen, do it right. Amen. Do it prayerfully. Have a good time with it. And by the way, fasting can be a wonderful time. I mean that. You don't have to disfigure your face and destroy your countenance and, you know, swing smoke and look like a little monk coming out of the monastery. Living in poverty or something like that. We don't have to beat ourselves with whips. Come on. You can have a cheerful countenance and you can do your work. I get tired of hearing, do you think I could go to work today if I'm fasting? I traveled 40,000 miles and fasted 40 days and I did just fine. Oh, there were hazy days, but I didn't stop getting on airplanes and preaching and doing what I was supposed to be doing. Now you say, what I'm talking about, physical labor. You can do that too. Mike Green came to me one day, who's now a missionary in Africa. He said, preacher, and Mike's a thin, skinny little guy. High metabolism, hyper, you know, like a little shrew. Just eats all the time and never gets fat. You know what I'm talking about? Can't stand those kind of people. Eat all the time, don't get fat. And he come to me and he said, brother, you know, I work, and he works in chain link fence when he was here, digging those holes and very physical labor. He said, do you think I could fast for 7 days? I said, there's no doubt in my mind you could. No doubt, absolutely in my mind that you could. You start on a Monday, if you would, and by Wednesday you may be getting a little tired, but God will sustain you, and you will be just fine. Thursday was a tough day of that week for him, but he said Friday God did something for him. He fasted all the way through the week, and that week, I believe God called him to Africa. He did just fine. He didn't dry up and shrivel up and die away. He did his work just fine. Everything was just fine. You fight through the headaches, you ask God for a little more grace and power, and you just get the work done. Amen? You listening to me? The idea is this, brethren. Fasting and praying is wrestling, wrestling, wrestling. Look at Mark chapter 3. Stay right with me. Mark chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Everybody still all right? Mark 3:13. He goeth up into a mountain, calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. He ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to say it? Preach. Say it again. To what? Preach. And our missionaries are sent forth to do what? Preach. And to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. Brethren, when we send them forth as missionaries and commission them and or support them to preach, they are sent forth to wrestle. Let me say it again. When we send them forth to preach and to witness and to build a church, we send them forth to wrestle. We send them forth to wrestle. When you go soul winning, you're wrestling against principalities and powers. Would you agree with that statement? When you teach your Sunday school, you're wrestling against principalities and powers. When you try to have a pure day in your life, you're wrestling against principalities and powers. Is that right? We send them forth out there. We support them to go out and wrestle and come into contact with principalities and powers. And they went out to preach and to come into contact with principalities and powers, if you would. Turn to Mark chapter 9 and also pick up Luke chapter 9. Mark 9 and Luke chapter 9, please. There's an important word that we're seeking from God as a church. One important word I want you to see. Mark 9 and Luke 9. You say, I've heard some of this message before. That's all right. We need to put it in a new context, if you would, of an open door and wrestling for and, if you would, in the right context, as a team with our missionaries. You say, I've never heard of a church doing this before. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You say, where's the prototype for this? In the Bible. Look, if you would, at Luke chapter 9. Watch now, verse 1. You're holding your place in Mark 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? Power and, say it, authority. 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 Over all devils and to cure diseases. Here's what we're asking for. We're asking for a greater authority to wrestle. We're asking for more strength and more effectual ways to wrestle principalities and power. We need more power. We need more authority. Look up here. It's not authority that you can see. You may see the result of it, but you won't see God put more authority on you. He gave them authority. Look up here. They were common fishermen, and He gave them power, and He gave them authority. And when they went out in the name of Jesus, those devils obeyed. They did not have that when they were mere fishermen. But they were granted that authority, and those principalities and powers knew they had it. Is that right? Yes or no? Authority. It's not something you flaunt. It's not something that you can see, but they can see it. And say, you're sounding charismatic. Principalities and powers can tell when someone has authority. There's no doubt in my mind about it. And I believe as a church, we ought to ask God for more authority, but there's a price to pay with that. Are you listening to me? We ought to ask God for more authority. You know what I hope? When we go out soul winning, I hope sometime after this mission conference, principalities and powers say, uh-oh, here comes Lighthouse again. You say, you're acting like it's a real warfare. You're acting like we're really soldiers. You're acting like devils are really real. We see people saved, and it's because of the power and authority that God has granted us. It's not to be lifted up. It's not to be seen. You can't flaunt it, or you grieve the Holy Spirit who gives it. You can't be lifted up in pride. In fact, He'll humble you. He'll break you down. You'll suffer, which is what fasting is all about. He'll lower you and lower you and lower you and put authority, and then you'll know it's not you. Some of you guys have preached with no authority before. You know what it's like. I preached with no authority before. It seems like I'm getting nowhere, and I'm not. But I've preached with great authority before, and you can say, boo, and people get saved. It's not us. It's the authority God's given us to use God's Word. Are you with me? Did He give them power and authority over devils to cast them out? Yes or no? Were they out preaching and wrestling with principalities and powers? And was the door open? Yes or no? Look at Mark chapter 9. Come on, Mark chapter 9. So they're out preaching. They're out wrestling. They're out winning. And in Mark chapter 9, they run into this kind. Is that right? Verse 17, stay with me. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. That's a devil. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, foameth, and gnasheth the teeth, and pireth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. Say the next four words. And they could not. Say it again. And they could not. Didn't they have power and authority? Weren't they out wrestling and winning? What happened here? They could not on this kind. This kind was stronger, if you would. Notice what it says. Oftentimes that the father comes in verse 22 and talks to Jesus and talks about how this boy, if you would, is going to be destroyed and would have been destroyed. And Jesus says this, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Wait a minute. It's just not, well, I believe. What He's going to say to His disciples is, the problem, boys, is you don't have enough faith to understand why you're going to have to fast and pray to get the power and authority for this kind. It has to do with faith, understanding, and doing. Are you okay? Hey, if you can't believe all things are possible, someone says, I believe. Why am I not seeing more people saved? Why are more doors not opening to me and effectual? Why am I not winning this battle? Maybe you ran into this kind. And maybe what God is calling you to do is prayer and fast. Or maybe there's a missionary over there and his wife that ran into this kind. And it's hindering their marriage. It's hindering their family. It's hindering their mission work. Are you listening to me? Why not we hold the ropes back here and pray and fast for authority for them and ask God to grant them authority? We'll send them a tape out and say, we're praying and fasting for you. Pray and fast for yourself out there. And let's see the work of God go forth in a way we've never seen it before. I believe there's authority and power in group fasting. Are we okay now? You say, brother, you know what? You'd have to really have faith to believe that. That's exactly right. You don't see principalities and powers, but you can't watch TV 5 nights a week, 5 hours a night, and come across with this thing and believe this thing, because you're living in a fantasy world that's not real, and I'm living in the Bible that's real, and there's principalities and powers, and fasting and prayer does something where we wrestle with them in a greater way. And I'm talking to the men, and I'm talking to the women in here tonight. I'm talking about some young men. You say, oh, I'm so hungry. Big deal. Hey, if you're 18, 19, 20, 21, teach that flesh who's in charge. It'll help you in some other areas too. Look what he says. Stay with me. The Bible says this, verse 25, and Jesus saw, verse 25, the people come running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto them, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Hey, Jesus was wrestling. And Jesus never lost a battle. Come on, talk to me. And the Spirit cried. Spirits always cry when Jesus speaks, amen. And rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he's dead. He wasn't dead. He was just under so much control of that principality and power that when that principality and power came out, and don't talk to me like, what are you, charismatic now, preacher? I'm reading you the Bible. That's the Bible. Don't let some charismatic person rob you because they're winding up and do something made for television. I'm saying we do this privately, secretly, quietly, and that preacher over in the mission field stands up and preaches, and for the first time in a long time, he has liberty. Why? Because somebody's back here going without food and praying and fasting, and some woman is going without food and praying and fasting, saying, oh God, I beg you, give Brad Wells power in his radio station to see people saved over there. Said, I never heard of this before. Well, we're going to be a church that's different, that is on the cutting edge, doing what we're supposed to be doing. And these are the old landmarks doing this. And that's why they had power in the 20s and the 30s. They were praying and fasting. And they were doing things in preparation for meetings. And they were seeing souls saved. And bars closed up. And liquor stores closed down. And pornography thrown out. And they were seeing something happen. We've lost our power and our authority. And I'm saying we need to get it back. Jesus Christ is the same as he was then. He's still the same today. Come on, talk to me. Look what he says, verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? They didn't know. Hey, look up here. They weren't even having the Holy Spirit in them yet. He was just with them. Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit had not yet been sent. Come on, talk to me. Oh, he was with them. But they didn't understand that. They just said, why couldn't we cast him out? Don't blame them. It was a good question. And Jesus said, this kind. Evidently, this one had more authority. This one didn't have to listen to the authority that he granted them, and they needed a more authority. Can come forth but by nothing. Statement. He didn't say, this kind, guys, you can never cast out. He said, this kind can come forth but by nothing. You're going to have to pay a deeper price, guys. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to do what the Bible says. But by prayer and what? Say it. And you know that's what the NIV cuts out. If you've got an NIV Bible here tonight, it's just cut out statement. If you've got an NIV Bible, it doesn't say in fasting in your book. I would throw that thing away if I were you. I'm not trying to be unkind to what you believe and what you read and all that, but when it starts cutting out words that are important, you've got to understand something, that there's something wrong with that book you're holding in your hand. The right Bible says, but by prayer and fasting. And don't get up and walk out right now. This is important to what I'm saying. Satan wants that scripture cut out, but wait a minute. Don't be yelling if you're not doing it. Come on, talk to me. He's cut it out purposely. He got those translators in there and said, let's just chop this out. And they're telling us it's the new, more improved, greater than before. We've studied it all out. This is more clarity and everything. They cut out in fasting. They cut out our authority. I don't care how much they're well known. I don't care what their names are. I don't care if they got doctors in front of their names or not. They don't know about this book. They've cut out our authority. And I'm talking about these are modern day, and some of them are Baptist, quote unquote, fundamentalists that have cut out the authority of the Word of God. He said, but by nothing, by nothing, by nothing, by nothing means there's no other way. You are going to have to pray and fast or you don't get it. And Satan would love to just say it by prayer. Come on, listen to what I'm saying. So the Bible says this kind can come forth but by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There's a commitment with fasting that must have. Fasting lowers us. Fasting weakens us. Fasting is God's way, if you would. And it's not the end all. It's just part of the journey for power and authority. Are you listening to me? Look at Acts chapter 19, everybody. Acts chapter 19. Stay with me. Come on. Acts chapter 19. We're not cutting it out. And don't be yelling about what the NIV says if you're not doing what the King James says. If you can't lay aside the food for a little bit for something more important than our little pot bellies, we ought to have something wrong with our heads. Now, I understand if you're a diabetic and all that, and you got to have food once in a while, but you could give us one meal. Come on, talk to me. And some of you men in here, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how old you are. I hope I'm still preaching this when I'm 80, if I'm alive then. I hope I just stand up in my cane and just say, well, boys, we better fast today. Look at Acts chapter 19. Stay with me. And by the way, we've been doing this around this place for 20 years. Some of y'all made me new. Welcome to a new dimension. We need more power and authority as a church. Not be to be seen of other men. Not to be seen of other churches. We only want principalities and powers to see it. And we want to encourage some missionaries out there. Why have a missions conference and just go through the motions and say, well, you know, we did this. Well, that's wonderful. But let's do something more than just this. Everybody all right? Look at Acts chapter 19. By the way, if I were you, I'd eat a hammer and hot dog tonight. And I would enjoy it. Because some of you, the Holy Spirit's going to wake up about 3 and 4 in the morning and say, well, I hope you enjoyed that. Because he was talking about a day or two for some of y'all. But he's going to wake some of y'all up and say, it's just not a day or two for you. So if I were you, I would enjoy the meal tonight, all right? Because you're going to be living off the fat of the land for a while, amen? And some of us can live for a while and we don't have to worry about it, amen? Come on, talk to me. That's all right. Hey, you ought to laugh a little bit. Hey, we're not doing this oppressively. We're going to have a good time with it. And you don't walk around with a sign on saying, I'm fasting today. Guarantee you, the day you decide to fast, somebody will invite you out to lunch for a 20-buck meal. I know what I'm talking about. And the next day, somebody will say, let's go to breakfast together. All you need to say is, let me take a rain check. You say, what'd you do all that time when you're out with preachers and you were fasting and all that stuff and the times you go out and fast and all that? I go to the table, they order. They say, you want anything, brother? I say, I just have some water. I don't have to say anything more than that. Aren't you hungry? No, I'm just drink a little water tonight. I don't say, oh, brother, you know, I'm wrestling with principalities and powers. And they don't need to know anything. Now, if they ask and they want to know doctrinally, I might talk to them a little bit. Come on. Let them feed that face while I'm sitting there. That'd be fine. Acts chapter 19. Watch now. Acts chapter 19. And by the way, to a Christian that doesn't understand this and doesn't believe this, they are powerless. They have only so much power and they'll hit a ceiling and they'll never go beyond that. I'm telling you, you'll hit a ceiling and you'll never go beyond that and your old man has you. Because fasting decreases the old man too. No doubt about it. Look at Acts chapter 19. I'm enjoying this tonight, amen? Look at verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, very impressive, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. You know what they're going to do? Wrestle. Come on, were they going to wrestle or not? Oh yeah, they went out to wrestle evil spirits. The name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. They didn't know who Jesus was. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know. You know what that evil spirit said? If Jesus would have told me to leave, I would have been gone. Why? Because he's got authority. And he says this, and Paul, I know him too. You know what I say? Paul, he's got the authority. And then the evil spirit says this, who are you? You know what he says? Where's your authority, big boy? Where's your authority to be telling us what to do? I don't see it. And I got to tell you something. They can see it. I can't see it, but I know when they can see it. Are you listening to me? I don't know what God does. I don't know if He publishes a list. I doubt it. I doubt if He works in that finite of terms. But principalities and powers know when someone's been stamped with more authority. Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are you? You know what he's saying? Who are you to tell me what to do? Come on, are you listening to me? And what's the next thing he did? The evil spirit decided to wrestle with them, is that right? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I guess that taught those boys a lesson, amen? You say, do you really believe in that stuff? Absolutely. Absolutely, positively. We pray and fast for direction. We pray and fast for our households. We pray and fast for the ministries at our church. We pray and fast for big days. We pray and fast for our purity. Let's pray and fast for our missionaries. And the wrestling going on out there that they're doing. Are we okay tonight? What are we praying for? God, grant them more authority. Grant them more power. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Come on, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We all right? I'm watching the time. 10 minutes, we'll be eating, all right? You getting hungry yet? Come on. Hey, I'm not taking your food away tonight. Don't go out there and say, hey, brother, I thought we were supposed to be fasting. Oh, be quiet. You know what we said? You know what Russ Prock said? Let's start looking at it next week or the week of the missions or the week after. Here's what I did. I told Russ, we don't want to all be there on the missions week where people are looking and saying, hey, it's missions conference. What are you eating for? We don't do that. It's none of your business. If you want to take a day before, if you want to take a day sometime in the week of the missions conference, or if you want to take a day, hey, you don't have status because you fasted. That's not the way it works. We don't look at you as some great spiritual giant because you fast and pray. Hey, look up here. Tithing, Bible reading, soul winning, church attendance, prayer, fasting, put it all in the same category. It's just part of the journey. It's normal Christian life. And we're to present our bodies as a living what? Sacrifice. Hey, when you give up food, you're sacrificing something the body needs and God notices it. It highlights that your voice may be heard on high, Isaiah 58. That's like giving up sleep between midnight and 6 and the third and fourth watch. When we sacrifice sleep and pray, God sees that too. He sees us praying during the day. He may see us on a normal day pray. But something that's a real burden to us, we fast, we're saying, this is not just normal. We need more power and authority with this one. Or we're willing to take from midnight to 6 somewhere there and give up some of our sleep as a sacrifice, and God sees that. We all right with that statement? And by the way, Jesus exampled all that to us. Look, if you would, and stay with me, if you would. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. I think we ought to pray for some marriages out there. I think some husbands and wives, in fact, the Holy Spirit very clearly to me as pastor says, some of you husbands and wives, pray for some of those marriages out there. Fast and pray. Now watch. 1 Corinthians 7, it talks, if you would, about intimacy. It talks about the husband and the wife in verse 2. It talks about the husband and wife in verse 3. It talks about the husband and the wife in verse 4. And verse 5, it talks about the husband and wife with intimacy too. Look at verse 5. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give, key word, statement, what is it? Yourselves. That's husband and wife. Husband and wife together to what? Fasting and prayer. Husbands and wives ought to fast and pray together once in a while. Why? And come together again, talking about intimacy, that Satan tempts you not for your incontinency, sexual appetite. The idea is when husbands and wife pray and fast together, it does have an impact on Satan's authority in their life. It has an impact on what Satan can tempt them with. Are you listening to me? This is not new doctrine in our church. I'm asking some husbands and wives to take a day together and fast and pray for a missionary couple out there. Read the scripture. Joint fasting and prayer. You say, wait a minute, what if we want to pray for our children? You can slip in a prayer for your children. You can slip in a prayer for your own marriage. You can slip in a prayer for your own business. But pray for a marriage out there. Write them a little note, send them a little card and said, my wife and I, or my husband and I, prayed for your marriage. Oh, what do they think? My marriage is on the rocks? No, we just prayed and fasted for your marriage like you should be doing.
Because principalities and powers will tear at those missionaries' marriages out there. If he can get their marriage starting to crack and fissure and divide and problems in there, then they don't even have one accord there, and the rest of it slowly starts to deteriorate. And that's why some missionaries come off the field and their marriages are having much problems.
Absolutely.
Are you listening to me? It's true. Principalities and powers are very strong, and if they can tear at marriages, they will out there.
Amen.
Are you, come on, you're getting all quiet on me now. Why, that means I got to ask my wife to pray with me and fast with me? That means, wife, you got to ask your husband to pray and fast with you? Hey, just, you know what? My wife can call me any day of the week and say, would you join me in prayer and fasting? And I'll stop eating right away.
Amen.
I don't even have to pray about it.
Right.
I don't even have to think about it. If she calls and asks me that, I'll just stop eating. Doesn't matter to me. If she asks me, I'm doing it.
Amen.
If she says, I got an unspoken, I want to pray and fast for a day, would you join? I'd say, sure, done, finished.
Amen.
What's three meals? A big gulp and a couple of hamburgers and some chop suey, you know. What's that compared to this request she's given me? And husbands, you ought to be able to go to your wives and ask her something, and she ought to not henpeck you for asking you to fast and pray. Well, I don't care what he says, I'm just not going to do it. See, that's the problem. Faith. 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 It's because of their unbelief. That's the problem. Faith gives us understanding, and understanding causes us to do it. Is that right? Absolutely. And this is not something ascetic. Husbands and wives should be fasting and praying once in a while together. And this is not oppressive. When you get on the right side of this thing, it's no big deal just to do it. If you're struggling with tithing, you're going to struggle with this. If you have to ask her if you can write a check, and now it's going to be, well, she won't let me even give me money to the church. How am I going to ask her to give up her food? Or vice versa. Ladies, if he won't fast for you, call another lady and ask her to fast with you. You'll get the job done. Well, I'd love to fast and pray with my husband. You know, he just won't, you know, he just, you know, too into his potato chips. Well, if he won't, call another lady and ask her to do it. And by the way, those things go on. Don't look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. Nobody wants to say amen right now. This is a good elbow time, amen? Come on. Hey, if we're going to grow as a church and if step up, I got to tell you the truth. I got to lay it out there. And you know what I'm asking for? I'm not asking for just 50% participation. I'm asking you all to jump in. I'm asking the membership of this church, the covenant. I'm asking you, let's jump in on this thing. Take a meal, take a day. But don't go looking at what somebody else is doing. It's none of your business, busybody.
Yeah.
We're not keeping a tally sheet on who's doing it when. I'm not going to check. I'm not checking to see if, you know, somebody's drinking a bunch of water for the day. I'm not checking on that. We're signing up to only do one thing, to make sure all the missionaries are covered. Then we're going to give you out letters. This doesn't make you more spiritual. You'll get lifted up as a novice if it's your first time, but that's a good start. It'll be fine. Some of our young people who are now teenagers and young adults, it's time for them to jump in on this a little bit. Some of the new people, and here you've only been saved a short period of time, it's time for you to jump in. You say, man, if I would have known that, I wouldn't have joined the church. What, you don't want to be spiritual? You want to go with the contemporary crowd? And by the way, some of those contemporary churches are fasting more than some of the Baptist churches are. That's true. So the concept is this. There's prayer and fasting, if you would, together. Look at Matthew 17. We're almost done. I want you to let you get to those hamburgers. Amen. Come on. Matthew 17. Say, man, you're killing our food program tonight. No, I'm saying you better enjoy it while you can. Why have a missions conference and not see something happen that's permanent?
Amen.
We don't just measure it by money. We measure it by the effectual door that's open and who goes in and how powerful they go in. And what we don't just measure it by results, but I'd love to hear a missionary come back and say, you know, I just got more liberty. Look at me, what at Matthew chapter what? 17. In Matthew 17, the Bible says this. If you would, look if you would at verse 15. Context. Lord, have mercy on my son. Same context. He oftentimes he falleth into the fire. Verse 17, Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation. Watch. Jesus rebukes the devil in verse 18. Read it. Verse 19, the disciples come apart and say to him privately, or come apart and say, why could not we cast him out? Verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, next four words, because of your unbelief. That's what he said. Hey, apostles, it's because of your unbelief. You don't understand this yet. You don't have enough faith yet. It's because of your unbelief. Statement. Some people won't do it because they don't believe it, and you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. If you heard testimonies of people who've tried it and said, you know, I didn't believe it, really. I didn't understand it, but I just did it because I was preached and told, and, you know, and so I did it, and I got to tell you something. There's something to that thing. There's something to it. It's not the end of the journey. It's part of the journey. Brother John Hansen, start making your way up here if you would. Because of your unbelief, he says. And then what does he say next? Verse 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and what? Fasting. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Are we still all right, everybody? I'm talking about as a group with power, with authority, at different points in times over the next 3 weeks. We're stretching it out a week before, week after week. And you say, well, I don't want to fast for 3 weeks. I'm not asking you to fast for 21 days. I'm just saying take a little time somewhere along the trail. Let God lead you. Let God do what He wants you to do, if you would. And you just be obedient to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, now watch this carefully. Look at verse... Everybody still all right? You still... You were yelling amen before, but... Yeah, something calmed you down a bit. Look at chapter 6. Look at verse 4. But in all things... Next two words. Approving ourselves. As the ministers of God. How do we approve ourselves? In much patience. We approve ourselves in afflictions. We approve ourselves in necessity. We approve ourselves as the ministers of God in distresses. We approve ourselves in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings. We approve ourselves as the ministers of God in fastings. Plural. That's New Testament, 2 Corinthians, Gentile church. That would be us. Is that right? I've asked Brother John Hansen to come give you testimony. Turn this on, guys, if you would. Thanks so much for doing that. Brother John is finishing up a 40-day fast tonight. You don't do many 40-day fasts, believe me. And last time he's eaten was, I think, back at Spoil the Egyptians conference, if you can remember how long ago that was. Specific things in his life. The fast is over for him. The 40th day will be tomorrow morning. We don't have to go out and broadcast this. But I want to give him an opportunity to preach. Not so much preach, but testify. Although if he gets a little preachy, that won't bother me at all either. But I called him yesterday and said, John, why don't you just come up and give a little testimony at the end of my message tonight. You remember when Brother Gil Torres, and we did that on a Sunday night. A preacher back east was given that tape. I don't even know how he got it. He's been preaching and pastoring 12 years. He fasted and used to fast the first few years of his ministry, and somehow it just slipped. Last Monday or the Monday before, he took the day of prayer and fasting and went into Tuesday and said, I just forgot how important it is. When I heard that tape, I started praying and fasting again. I've already seen some results of the Lord. That pastor called us. He'll be coming in for our missions conference. Let's stir it back up again. Well, John, you come. Good to have you, my brother. Looking a little skinnier these days. Turn to... Sorry for him. Feel glad for him, amen.
He gets to eat tomorrow morning at 6 in the morning, amen. All right. I just want to reiterate what Pastor said and what Gil Torres said about fasting. It's not the amount of time that you go, it's what God does through you with what you do. And that is so true. I 40 days for me is a meal for somebody else. So don't look at me, look at God, because he gave me the endurance, the ability to do that. I just want to have you guys turn to Ephesians chapter 3,
starting at verse 14. And this kind of sums up what how I went into the fast, what I wanted to get out of the fast. And then I'm going to share a little bit of what actually I did get out of it, and those kind of things. I went into the fast for two reasons. One, I wanted direction in my life. It seemed like everything that I planned to do was not working out. I went to school for a camping degree, came into California to be part of a camp. Well, that camp situation fell through. It wasn't the camp I wanted to be a part of. You know, put on my applications for other camps, and nothing came in. Nothing. The Lord wasn't leading me. I'm just kind of, Lord, what in the world? You know, I mean, I moved my family out to California. What am I going to do? What do you want me to do? And just, I guess that was about 3 years ago. And just over the time, God has been telling me or showing me that, you know, John, I want you to learn and grow more. You're not ready for what I want you to do yet. I want you just to stay in the church that you can grow in. And church, just being a part of a church like this under a pastor like Pastor Fisher, don't take that for granted. Especially if you know if you've been in a church that was dead, that people weren't growing, that people weren't getting saved, that there was no soul winning, that there was no doctrinal preaching. You know, you need to just not take for granted the church that you're in now. I've been there. I've been to churches like that, and it didn't go anywhere. And my family was dead. My kids were under Sunday school teachers that were, you know, loved them and were teaching them and able to teach us, and so that we can teach our kids better. So I really praise the Lord for being a part of a church like this. But let me read chapter verse 14. And we'll go from there. It says, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted in and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Three areas here that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, the Gentiles, to accomplish in their life. And the first one is in verse 16. And it says, the last part of that verse, to be strengthened with the might of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit in the inner man. You know, that talks about divine, and to me, that talks about divine enabling or divine ability, giving you a divine ability to do whatever he wants you to do. When I went into this 40-day fast, the most I've ever done was a day and a half fast, and I struggled with that. I could not make it through the 2 days I wanted to go, and it's amazing what the Lord did. I mean, He took everything away this time, and I was able. He gave me divine ability to go through that fast, and you know that just speaks in other areas of life. God tells you to do something. He's not going to tell you to do something and not give you the ability to do what he asked you to do. You know, and that's so true. That's so true. Missionaries, soul winning, being, you know, getting married, any of that, anything that he has in your life, that he wills in your life, he's going to give you the ability to do that. And in my fast, he gave me the ability to go the 40 days. And, you know, it wasn't an easy thing. You had up days and you had down days. You had days where you wonder, why are you doing this? You know, is it really worth it? And, you know, now the 40th day, I say, yeah, it is. It was worth it. And then the next thing that just kind of wraps up what Paul was talking to the Ephesians about, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, that you... and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Man, the love of Christ. We can't really comprehend that. What Christ did on the cross for us while we were yet sinners, He died for us. The best way, even through this fast, that Christ showed His love towards me, was through the people that prayed for me. Pastor Fisher calling me up and saying, "How you doing?" My employer telling me he prays for me all day. My other co-workers telling me that they pray for me. Other people that I was able. I only told a few people, so I could just have a few. What is it? A prayer group. I didn't want, I didn't want everybody to know. I just wanted the few people that were close to my heart to know. And even they prayed and said, "I'm going to fast for you in a certain amount of days. I'm going to pray for you a week or whatever." And that was love. That was God showing me His love. And sometimes we can't always understand God's love, but as it is revealed through other people, God's love for you. That was pretty awesome for me to see that, just the encouragement that people gave me when they saw me, when they called me up and said, "How you doing, brother? I'm praying for you." And, that helps you go on with what you're, what God wants you to do. And I just praise the Lord for all the ones that I did pray, that did call me up, and that did fast for me. And thank you. You guys know who you are. And then finally it says that, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What is that? What is the fullness of God? Look at that. Look at His life on the earth, His virtues, His character. That's what I wanted. I wanted that growth. When I started this, like I said, there was the direction, and then the second one was growth. I wanted to grow. I knew there was things in my life that I needed to get rid of. I knew there was things in my life that I needed to strengthen. And through this fast, through this 40-day fast, I think no other way God could ever get into my head and pull out and weed out the things that didn't need to be there, and to fill those with the things that did need to be there. And that needed to be there in a more greater amount, and through this these habits were built, that even habits that I don't even see that might come to fruition later on down the road, that He started now that haven't quite matured yet, and so there's so much even what He taught me, but just even now, as I look down the future of how He's going to use this fast and the things that He's kind of showed me and that He's going to work on in myself to better and to weed out. Pastor Shemesh preached about the mantle being, fitting the mantle He has for you. And that's what I prayed. God, cut off the things in my life that is preventing me from fitting into that mantle, and add things to my life that I'll need to fill that mantle. And He's done that. He's done that so powerfully. And I praise Him for it. And then finally, the last part of this verse is what I wanted. And most of all is direction. And the last part of the chapter here. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I told you I prayed for direction in my life. I was at the point where God was giving me some really neat jobs. Mouth are getting all dry. He was bettering my jobs. Each one I got, He would better it. And I praise the Lord for now working with Brother Swim. Just a boss that has a sensitive, heart for the Lord, and allow me to go through this fast and change my responsibilities at work a little bit, so I can think and not have to think real quick. Because when you're on this, you can't think quick. Your brain just starts mush. And He was able to put down some of my responsibilities. And I was able to go through my daily routines and still be profitable for the business. But I guess about 2, maybe 3 weeks into the fast, praying for direction, praying for, Lord, what am I going to do? What do you have for me, my family? Pastor Fisher called a few of us into an office and talked about a vision that he had. And the vision was a camp started by a church, being an arm of the church, a retreat center, a camp meeting place where we can go out and meet with God with, you know, enough space to accommodate the people that we would want in a camp meeting. And you know, right there, thank you, Lord. It was all worth it, even just for that. That's what I was looking for. I didn't expect it through the church. You know, I expected it outside. God was going to show me an organization I could get be a part of. But he chose to use the church, the local church, to guide and direct. And I praise him for that. I praise, you know, Pastor Fisher for his dream, for his vision of a camp. And that is so neat to me. And so, I mean, that's about it. And thank you.
Thank you, brother. Go get some water. Amen. Okay, you haven't heard about the camp yet, have you? We'll talk about it later. Anybody got $3 million? I know where there's about 50 acres up in Julian. It's got a permit already on it. We can go up there and have a place for our teens to go and our juniors to go. Up in the woods where you can see the stars at night. We can put a retreat up there for some missionaries and pastors that need just a break away. We can put a place up there where we could just have all kinds of retreats and stuff and put a little tabernacle up where we could have a camp meeting. Up in the woods. A real camp meeting. Where the bugs fly in at night. I want our children to see that. We'll see what God does. And say you're serious. With $10 million, we can do quite a bit. We get our buildings built. We get some Hebron houses. We get a camp. They say, where are we going to get $10 million? God could sell about 100,000 cattle on the sides of those hills. I'll tell you where we get it, though. Ask him. Being faithful, being diligent. Don't worry. Don't worry about some oppressive campaign financially. You don't have to worry about that. We want to see the Red Sea part. But he'll wait to watch what we're doing. We want to see the River Jordan part, but he'll wait to watch and see if we stick our foot in. Let's pray and fast for missionaries. Let's pray and fast for someone else. And along the way, ask God to guide and direct us. Let's have an altar call tonight before we dismiss for fellowship. Pray for Brother Hansen as he's finishing up and his wife. Some of you men, some of you ladies, let's pray for our missions conference. Gilbert Anger coming in, Ezekiel Salas, Brother Fernandez, Brother Peel, Brother Kyle Charters. Let's ask God to help us as we direct our thoughts and minds to maybe some prayer and fasting and which missionary we would pray and fast for. If you need one of those, the ushers has one of those. I want you to take a look. Maybe fast and pray for a couple of them. Isn't it nice to come to a church and it's not just hearing, but it's doing? People are already involved and people are already asking. You want to pray a little bit for this camp that Brother John mentioned? It's just a little hand out over the ocean, just a little cloud out there that we're looking at. Nothing where it's raining yet or anything like that. Just a little hand out there over the ocean that looks like some cloud, might have some rain in it. We'll see what the Lord does. With your heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, listen very carefully. Some of this doesn't even make sense if you're not saved. But if you get saved, it'll make all the sense in the world. You'll come above this life. You'll come above this world. You'll come out of the smog and all the different stuff going on down here, and you'll walk above all that. And you'll see what this world is really all about. Souls, God, principalities and powers, victory, joy, glorifying God. It's not the TV guide. It's not the things. And I'm sure there's some good stuff on there, but it's not what's going on at the Emmys and the Oscars and all that stuff. It's what's going on in preaching and souls getting saved and marriages and missions going out to Indonesia and Jakarta, Cambodia and Laos and Thailand and on over into South America and up, if you would, over into Europe, if you would, and down to Australia and over, if you would, into Nova Scotia and in our own Judea and Samaria. It's what's going on out there in worldwide missions, and that's what's coming up. And they're out there working, and we're sending money, we're praying, we're sending notes and letters, and thank God for you that are sending those notes and letters and our pen pals. Please do that. Please jump in on that. We'll tell you more about that in a couple weeks coming up. But also now, let's take another step as a church in commitment and ask for authority. Not to be seen, but to be effectual. If you've never received Christ as Savior with your heads bowed and eyes closed, we wouldn't close the service without asking you to let us pray for you. If that's you tonight, would you hold up your hands and say, "That me, pray for me. I'm not sure of my salvation tonight. Pray for me." And I hope God does some work in your heart and you think about this. As a husband and wife, you talk and you study the scriptures and you think. And maybe some 18, 19, 20-year-old guy, you say, "You know, it's time for me to jump in on this a little bit." Let's let the instruments play. Let's just take a little time. We'll be dismissed in about 3 minutes from now. Thanks for coming. Thank you for your testimony, Brother Hansen. That's just a normal thing around here, that people do some praying and fasting.